Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.thebenjamindixonshow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
Today is Thursday, December 8th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me. Republicans are still reeling in the aftermath of another defeat. On Tuesday, Reverend Raphael Warnock defeated none other than Herschel Walker. Now, to most normal people, we can clearly see why Herschel Walker lost and why he should never have been a candidate in the first place, and how utterly insulting it was for these white Republican conservatives to go and pick the absolute worst caricature of a black person that they could conjure up and take him from the state of Texas, where he really resides, and bring him to Georgia to try to win a state that he rarely visited. Of course he was going to lose, right? But Republicans and propagandists like Sean Hannity cannot seem to imagine why it is the case. Or they're looking. They're looking this morning, still trying to figure out. And we have a breakdown of the exit polling to show you the breakdown. It still breaks down by demographics, how you generally would expect it. White women are still voting for Trump. I mean, because Herschel Walker was an extension of Trump. White women, white men, and if it wasn't for black people and young people, yet again, showing up and having to save democracy yet again, then we absolutely would have had a Herschel Walker. We talked about yesterday how close fascism came into a second place. Well, now they're regrouping. They're regrouping and recalibrating to figure out how they can go the distance and recover ground that they thought was sure territory for them. Republicans for generations. I mean, the fact that Georgia is blue now is so obscene to Republicans that they were not prepared for it. And they ultimately had to throw a Hail Mary in the form of Herschel Walker. And now they're trying to figure out how do they move forward to reclaim this territory without doing a couple of things. Republicans absolutely do not want to stop being racist. While they could pick up quite a few black people if they just gave up on their white supremacy, they refuse to do that. And then number two, now they're trying to see how there's a clip from Hannity and we'll play it. But how can they benefit from mail-in ballots when they have been preaching against mail-in ballots because they understood that that was going to be the number one way people voted during this pandemic? And in fact, it became a game-changing paradigm that even though most people are pretending that the pandemic is over and they've gone on about their lives, mail-in ballots have still stuck. And now Republicans, they've talked their audience out of it for so long that their audience is not doing it. And because of that, Democrats have an advantage. Let's listen to this clip from Sean Hannity.
One data point, Kellyanne, that I did forget, and that is that Republicans, in terms of We never win the popular vote. We actually won the popular vote this election cycle. Yeah. So it tells me that the ballot game that the Democrats are playing is a very different model than what we're used to seeing. Every model that we've used in the past, go to the fair, you know, kiss babies, shake hands, take selfies, do rallies, all of that, that seems secondary to, you know, look at Katie Hobbs or Joe Biden for that matter, or Fetterman for that matter. Yeah. These guys hid in their basement. They did no media interviews. If they debated, it was at the end, if at all. They barely showed up, never had to answer tough questions. And they raised a ton of money and they dumped negative ads on Republicans. They didn't campaign traditionally.
Well, yeah, mainly because we were and still are in a pandemic. Nobody's going around kissing babies right now. And Democrats found that there were some efficiencies in scaling down your public appearances. The economies of scale, I mean, the ability to use technology to communicate, it's called mass communications for a reason. Let's not here's the thing. I'm listening to Sean Hannity and he's really exasperated. Like he's really flustered and he's really wondering why they didn't win. There's another clip of him saying that he thought that Herschel Walker was actually a good candidate.
The reason that things are so close down the middle. But the final point I'll make, Sean, is mechanics are always important in campaigns, but candidate quality is essential. Good candidates will win. And the big issue for Republicans still is who is our leader, who's the candidate at the top,
who has the best opportunity
to bring people in.
Herschel, I thought, was a good candidate. I know people disagree with that, but he got outspent in the runoff about 3-4-1. He got outspent in the general election by an equal amount. That makes a difference. Money in politics makes a pretty big difference.
What? Money in politics makes a big difference? Of course it does. And for people who have stood on the side of Citizens United for so long, and corporations are people, my friend, you guys have been pouring an unlimited amount of money into these campaigns and the people. I mean, and then I got to give a shout out again to Stacey Abrams, because she was able to move a lot of donations and get people to commit not only finances, but time to actually turning Georgia blue. Right. But in terms of money, we most certainly would agree to get money out of politics if Republicans would. So, you know, that's kind of a weak sauce there, Sean Hannity. You guys have been proponents of it. And now he's wondering why his own listeners aren't and his own viewers aren't doing mail-in ballots. It's because you preached against it for so long. It's like everything that you are now identifying as a problem is something that you've supported all along the way. But now it's no longer working for you, because you guys are at the bottom of the barrel, because what it requires, what's required to win as a Republican today, by definition, is delivering the very bottom cesspool dregs of society to the Republican Party. I mean, it's the party of Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's the party of Herschel Walker. It's the party of idiocracy. It's the dinner for schmucks of political parties. This is like you're past the rebel rousers in the Republican Party. Sometimes when you get a rebel rouser, you don't really know what you're going to get. You get somebody who can really do good and brawl politically, but they might be a liability and they might, you know, be a drug addict like Rush Limbaugh. Rest in peace. You know, it might be somebody who's a religious zealot, you know, someone like Jerry Falwell. You never really know what you get when you get rabble rousers. But Republicans, you're a generation past rabble rousers. You are now down to the dregs of society, the people that you would be embarrassed with if you were caught out to dinner with them. Is there a person out there who would not be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually in public with Marjorie Taylor Greene? You know, some things are left to be done in the dark, not in the day. In the Republican Party, they're in a place where they're bringing all of their filth to the front of humanity and saying, look at this dog excrement that is our candidate, and wonder why they're not winning. Like, really, how dumb are they? They have here it is. They are so far gone into their lies. They're so far gone into their echo chambers that they actually are now using their own product. You know, it's one thing they used to say, don't use your own product, right? They're believing their own hype. They're believing their own lies. And they cannot believe that these strategies, which we're looking at their strategies and like, you guys are absolute morons. And we are embarrassed that humanity, particularly the United States of America, is so ridiculously lost that someone like Herschel Walker could get so close. But if you're really going to take a minute to deconstruct what went wrong, how is it that you cannot? Well, that's it right there. That's it. Because if they actually look at what is wrong, they have to look at themselves. And as we all know, no human being wants to look in the mirror and realize that they are the problem. No one. It hurts. You know, it really causes physical embarrassment, cringe. It causes you to run away. How many of us can honestly look in the mirror and see that we have been wrong about something? Now, this is extending to people like Sean Hannity far more than I probably should extend, right? I'm extending some general human decency. I'm extending a soul to these people. And that might be my mistake, because we're at the stage of civilization's decline where it honestly looks as though we are dealing with barbarians on the other side of their own gate, mind you, right? This is an empire built for white supremacy, and white supremacy has become the barbarians outside of their own gate. There's no question about it. I'm wondering if they even had souls for us to consider the possibility that they have the capability of being reflective and having some introspection and having some ability to just look at themselves and see how they could be better. And instead of looking at themselves and seeing how they can be better, they look at the absolute most ridiculous thing and say, that's what it is. They would rather believe that. I don't know why this example came to my mind. They would rather believe that the pyramids in Egypt came from aliens than to believe that it came from the black people of Africa. Right. They would rather believe that than to believe that we were capable, right? They go to the most extreme, embarrassing excuse because they cannot reflect that something that they thought, something that they believed was wrong. Now, here's the insult to injury. What do you do when you're the person spewing the lies so long that not only your audience bought into it, Sean Hannity, but you bought into it? Oh, that's even worse. It's one thing to be fooled by somebody else and then have to look at the mirror and say to yourself, my favorite podcaster has been lying to me, Jimmy Dore audience. You know, I know that's very difficult for you to do, to take a minute to step back and say, yeah, the person I've been listening to, my favorite Twitterer, my favorite person on Twitter has been lying to me. That's hard enough, right? That's difficult. I don't expect a lot of people to be able to do that. But it's even more difficult when you're the person like Sean Hannity who's created the lie on a network that spreads those lies. And then eventually you say it so long and you start to see people respond and you see how close you can. So close for Herschel Walker winning that you can't believe why he lost. While the rest of normal humanity is wondering where you guys got this Elmer Fudd concussion CTE. I mean, like, mind-numbingly, just almost to the point where I feel ableist talking about it. Like, I feel like just merely talking about the cognitive failings of the cognitive incapabilities of Herschel Walker makes me feel like I'm being ableist. That's how stupid he is. And yet, they believe he should have won. They believe that he was a good candidate. Or they just have to save face. Let me tell you something, people. Saving face will cause you to repeat the same exact mistake every single time. I'm trying to give you it's somewhere in between, like somewhere in between political analysis and life lessons, because I've noticed with some people that I mentor, I noticed that there is they don't want to get past the breakthrough point, and the breakthrough point is when they could admit to themselves that they did something wrong. And then when they can turn around and verbalize it and say, I did something wrong. But, you know, that's a hurdle. That's like hard for anybody to do. That's hard for me to do. I have to remind myself constantly. If I messed up and something happened, it's because of me. I need to learn from that. I need to embrace that. But instead, we're dealing with irrational actors who don't do that. And in fact, I said Rush Limbaugh earlier, but I have to really bring him back up again. He was the one that made it taboo to be introspective. Rush Limbaugh, he's like the conservative god, dead. But in terms of how he impacted this country and how he impacted the conservative movement, he made it taboo to be introspective, calling everyone who actually took a moment to have hindsight or be reflective, called them navel gazers. And now all of the millions of white men who listen to him in their pickup trucks and in their 18-wheelers and inside of their Klan meetings, every single one of them started to refuse to be retrospective and reflective. And so we've gotten an entire generation of people like Sean Hannity who grew up never actually looking in the mirror and for the life of him can't figure out why they lost. Well, you lost because you can't look at the man in the mirror, Sean. Charlie Kirk, I'm going to try to find audio of this, but I haven't had much luck, so I might just have to recount it for you. Last night, Charlie Kirk, who is the wonder boy for the conservative movement, he is the chosen child. He's the one who is going to make capitalism cool for all of the college kids again. He's going around the country with all of these mega events and all the bright lights and stages. He was started off by getting a couple of $1 million from a rich investor to go and start a Turning Points USA across the country. And he's turned that into a media company. He started on college campuses with the funding of a millionaire. And so now he is, you know, vying to be the next Rush Limbaugh. Anyway, he was reading on his show yesterday emails from all of his supporters who said they did not vote in the Georgia runoff election because of fraud. Now, if you look up and down Charlie Kirk's timeline on Twitter, if you listen to his show at all, you would know that he is the lead person creating and putting and inserting into the national conversation the supposed fraud in the state of Georgia. He's the one putting it out there. Another example, and I'll read some of the tweets, but he's another example of what Sean Hannity is doing. He can't believe for the life of them that they lost, but he also can't look in the mirror and admit that he's one of the reasons they lost, because he's constantly been attacking voting by mail, specifically on Fox News. He's constantly been attacking the validity of the results, especially entertaining Kerry Lake over in Arizona all the time, right? He's constantly been sowing the seed. And so what they didn't realize that there was a decreasing returns, if I have to put this in economic terms. Charlie Kirk, who's now lamenting because his audience didn't go out to vote. Well, the reason they didn't go out to vote was because all you talked about was the voter fraud happening in Georgia that wasn't really happening. And eventually you went from angering your audience, from angering them into action, into angering them into despair and dismay. Thank you for crossing the Rubicon, the threshold, the inflection point. Thank you for beating down the very concept of voting so much to your audience that they believed it was in their best interest to not get up and go vote. Good job. You played yourself. I want them to continue, though. Please continue, because you're only going to be able to motivate them with the different subsections of hate that you do. Like they go from one issue to the next, looking for the next thing to get their audience angry. They have us on a cycle. We're getting ready to go into people getting mad because of people saying happy holidays and thinking it's a war on Christmas. Like, they go through cycles every single month. They have something new for their audience to get angry about. And eventually what they didn't realize was that their audience was just going to give up. They can't sustain the hate-filled politics for this long. The anger-filled, the bigotry-laden politics for this long and get back up and go into the voting booth again 4 weeks later. Turns out maybe hate isn't the final thing that motivates people. Maybe you putting up a class and a breed of politician that quite frankly should not be put in front of an audience of puppies. Like, these people are so far gone in their delusions, in their hatred, in their just ability to reason. They're so far gone, I wouldn't trust them in front of a pack of wolves. Actually, I would. Send them there. But this is the breed of people that they're putting up into political position and wondering why they're losing. Meanwhile, they put out all of the propaganda they could to disrupt mail-in ballots. They did all they could. What they didn't realize was that their Proud Boys were so busy organizing militias to go and intimidate. They literally had people go to drop off boxes with guns to intimidate people, to intimidate voters. And so while they were organizing to do that, apparently they didn't organize to go drop off their own mail-in ballots. Kind of hard to sustain democracy at the same time you're trying to destroy it. But no, please keep doing it. Please. Absolutely. Keep demoralizing your audience, because the other alternate is for you to be reasonable. The other alternative is for you to be rational. The other choice is for you to actually recognize that there's truth and that there is something called fact and not just your opinion. And when your opinion has been aligned with that of billionaires and the oil industry and the police state and the military industrial complex, well, then you've got a whole lot of unraveling of evil. Do we realize the people who are on the other side of the equation here? Forget about talking. I've been talking to them all morning. I want to talk to the people of good faith for a second. Do we realize that the level of sociopathy? I think we narrowed it down to a phrase called, it was either political sociopathy or social sociopathy, right? Where it's not a medical diagnosis, and we're not excusing this in the sense of mental illness. We're saying that they have strategic sociopathy. That's what it was. Strategic sociopathy. They absolutely know how to have no emotions, feeling, concern whatsoever for anybody. And yet they didn't realize the end result was that they wouldn't even have it for themselves. They lose the ability to preserve themselves, their own best interests. This is how capitalism cannibalizes itself. It's so cruel. It's so cruel that it won't give railroad workers 7 or 15 paid sick days. It's so cruel that it will crush the very essential workers that it depends on for its survival. And then look around and wonder, how do we end up here? You ended up here because your entire methodology was about grinding people down to a pulp. Your entire methodology was about motivating your voters from hatred, from anger, from bigotry. Your entire methodology was undermining the legitimate mechanisms of democracy, and you wondered why it backfired on you. Huh. Well, let's have this patron party.
Go to www.patreon.com/thebpdshow and get twice the content and unfiltered interviews without any of the commercial interruptions.
And here we go. No new patrons for this morning, but what I do have are two very considerate supporters who sent over Cash Apps. I want to thank Taj Tweedy. Thank you so much for that very generous Cash App that you sent yesterday. And Latif Mims, thank you, brother, for both Cash Apps. I see both of them and I want to thank you. Whoa, wait a minute. You too can become a part of this prestigious and prodigious patron family, as well as a a supporter via Cash App by going to patreon.com/thebpdshow, where you get twice the content, none of the commercial interruptions, and you get access to the patron party. And if you want to send me a Cash App, BPD 2018. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to The Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at TheBenjaminDixonShow.com.
Welcome back. Yeah. Check me out. I really want to give you two things today. Number one, please don't be one of these people who can't be wrong and can't look in the mirror and say, oh, I messed up on that one. Let me turn and change my direction and go in the opposite direction because what I was doing was wrong. What I was doing wasn't working. Okay. Because you see how far this goes when you don't have the ability. I know I'm making a big leap here. You're probably like, how does one connect to the other? Because as I listen to that clip of Sean Hannity, I really hear it in his voice. He's at a loss. He cannot for the life of him understand why this good candidate, Herschel Walker, lost. And he can't understand, you know, why their traditional methods of campaigning lost. And he can't understand that Charlie Kirk was one of them. Can't understand why his voters didn't go out and vote when they were claiming voter fraud the entire time. And of course, then that those two people would never look at the fact that it's them because they're paid to not look at the fact that it's them. They're going to continue to make millions of dollars a year to tell their audience that nothing they say is ever wrong. Only thing that is wrong is with the American people and wokeness. They'll never look at themselves because they're paid to not see themselves, because if they actually start speaking truth on their platforms, well, they won't have the platforms anymore. The entire point is the deception. The entire point is the deception, from the conception of the lie all the way to the inflection point when you turn around and believe it yourself. And the reason I connected to one to the other is because, listen, I can't sit here and lie and say that I have not been, you know, in my own little way, been afraid to admit that I was wrong. But I'm so glad that I'm not on international television, so far gone into my self-delusion, into my own lie, high on my own supply, that I'm up there lamenting the very thing that I created, Charlie Kirk. The very thing that you created, Sean Hannity. Man, them checks must be good, because, you know, I don't know if you could pay me enough money to be a fool on television, to be a moron, to be a dreg of society. And I guess there's the other part of it. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit, because normal people would actually slow down and say, maybe I need to think about this. But we're not dealing with normal. We're dealing with barbarians. We're dealing with people who are irrational actors. And I'm not saying this just to hurl insults. You really need to understand what we're dealing with. It's all fun and games, and I can laugh about it. Ha ha, Kiki, and Sean Hannity's so stupid. He doesn't even, Herschel Walker is CTE ridden and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you have to realize that there is a faction of this country, I would say humanity, that is irrational, and they are irrational actors. And their entire mechanism, their entire way of operating, their entire operating system is backwards. It is irrational and is not built on anything that is sustainable. And I think we're actually coming up that I think we're at the end of sustainability. We have withstood the level of ignorance and bigotry and disrespect for this planet, hatred for our brother and our fellow human being, we withstood it as long as we possibly could. And we're past the Rubicon. If we do not get this type of sociopathy out of political power, out of media power, I mean, honestly, look at what's happening with social media. It's this level of disingenuous ignorance, strategic sociopathy has seized control over all the social media platforms, Elon Musk, Twitter. And that's because they need people so deluded by their ideas of their own personal grandeur. They think that they are so brilliant because they're making a big check. Elon Musk just knows he's brilliant because he's the richest man in the world and everyone keeps telling him he's a genius. And now he's believing we've got some narcissists running society, folks. And we have people running society in charge of every channel. I mean, political channels down to multimedia channels, streaming, literal television channels, right? Economic channels, military channels. We're dealing with people who have the power, but they are so hocked up on their own lie that they don't realize that they are the barbarians outside of their own gate, getting ready to destroy an empire that was built for their pleasure. Built by us, but for the benefit of white supremacy. Built by all of us, but for the benefit of white Christian men. And those are the people who lined up on January 6th to overthrow the government. Those are the people who still support Donald Trump and are finding their way over to Ron DeSantis. Those are the people who are making up the rank and file of the Republican Party. The normal membership is nothing more than the village idiots who have picked up a bludgeoning tool and they are all gathered outside of their own gate because they really believe their own lie. They believe that they are the oppressed. They believe that they are the disenfranchised. They believe that they are the ones who need to be liberated. And what do you do with that level of irrationality?
See you all on the live show. Patrons, stay tuned for a few minutes. Patrons, thank you so much. Listen, this is just an extra note. I'm not going to be here long because I'm getting ready to go on the show with Rebecca. I am doing my best to get back into the full daily routine of just pushing out content. These shows really... We had a great time on the live show yesterday, and I hope that you can see the juxtaposition between what I'm able to deliver in the podcast format, but also the value of what we deliver on the morning show, right? There's this two totally different delivery mechanisms, but it's also two totally different experiences for the audience. And that's intentional, right? We are intense on the podcast. I'm leaning back into where I was, right at the beginning of the pandemic in terms of the ability to speak truth to power just with the microphone, no camera. And at the same time, you know, the joy that we have, the back and forth, the ability to engage with the audience that we get during the live show. It was they're two different products, but I hope that you would consume both of them if you have the time. So go to patreon.com. Never mind. You're already a patron. Not that. Go to YouTube and watch the live stream. We'll be live. I'm going to do my best to be back every day, every morning that they're broadcasting, Tuesday through Thursday. I want to be a part of it at 9 a.m. And then we're eventually going to get back to some of the other live morning content. Those decisions are more financial. Those decisions are more business oriented. But in terms of just delivering our heart, in terms of these stories, we're going to do our very best to get back into doing the morning show with Rebecca and DJ Exclusive starting in January. So special thanks to them for holding it down. Also, I want to thank again those individuals who sent the Cash App, Taj Tweedy and Latif. I want to thank you again for sending those Cash Apps. Very, very, very critical support. I want to appreciate you all. Thank you so much. And I will see you on the live show in a few minutes.